Good evening. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight. We're going to be looking at a passage in Psalm 102. So turn with me to Psalm 102. We'll continue as usual in our series on the identity of God. Last week, you'll recall, we looked at God being eternal. We saw that that means He has no beginning, He has no end, He has no succession of moments. And we talked about how that has great bearing on our lives as those who live within time and space. And tonight, as has already been mentioned, we're going to be looking at the immutability of God, which, boys and girls, if you were listening to Elder Kessler's prayer, it means that God does not change. So it's a big word, immutable, but it means that God does not change. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight. For next Lord's Day, if you're interested, we're going to have Pastor Nathan Eikenberry will be preaching in the morning. So some of you remember last May, Nathan preached for us. He's the associate pastor at Cornerstone Baptist in town. It's not every day we have a Baptist preacher here at an RP church, but this is a guy that I've gotten to know, and I'm thankful that he'll be able to cover for me next Sunday morning. And then in the evening, we'll have Pastor Wade Mann from the Elkhart RP church will be preaching for us. So you can pray for those guys. Well, let's read here, Psalm 102. We're going to look at verses 25 to 27. This is God's word. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. We'll stop there at verse 27. Well, this morning I mentioned March Madness, and if you've been following the basketball tournament, then you likely heard of the big upset against Ohio State. Now, there was another big upset this week, but I feel that might be a little too raw to even touch on this evening, so we won't talk about that game when Purdue accidentally lost to a team that's never won a game, but that's a different story here at all. We're not here to talk about that, but Ohio State, none of us like Ohio State, so we can at least I don't think so, but we can focus on that. And this seems to happen in the NCAA tournament, where you've got, you know, your number two seed team playing the number 15 seed team, and you think it's a sure victory, and yet what ends up happening, right? The underdog comes out victorious, and this is happening in many ways. And so despite how we thought the winner was obvious, there's this big upset. And I think it's one of the things that makes the NCAA tournament so exciting is that anything can happen. Right, change always happens. Things change when you come to this basketball tournament, and sometimes we are happy about it. Other times we're not happy about it. Things change quite unexpectedly. But it's not just the NCAA tournament where that happens, is it? Right, but this is life. Right? Life in general is full of change. We don't know what will happen. We have no idea what tomorrow will hold. Likely our plans will be changed in some way or another. Things can change in any moment. And they often do change. Now, sometimes they change for the better. And we like when they change for the better. But often, they also change for the worse. Right? And that's where it gets hard. But either way, whether it's for the better or whether it's for the worse, life is full of change. That is the fact of the matter. And change, if you're like most people, you don't like change, right? Change is unsettling, right? Change makes you nervous and anxious. And so what we need then, if we're going to live in this world where everything is bound to change, where we are changing and change is all around us, is that we need something that's stable, right? We need something reliable, right? We need something like a strong rock. And friends, what I want us to see tonight is that is God. Because, as we'll see this evening, while everything around us and in our lives may be constantly changing for the better and for the worse, God never changes. And that is a wonderful comfort. And so as our main point tonight, I want you to see that in a world that's always changing, you need to lean on your unchangeable God. Right? In a world that is always changing, lean on your unchangeable God. This is how we should respond to his immutability. So let's look here at our first point then tonight, which is God's immutability. Now, if you go back to Psalm 102, we're not going to say a whole lot about this, but it's pretty clear in verses 25 and 27 that the psalmist is speaking of how the heavens change, and he's thinking of the creation and how these things change. But in contrast, verse 27, he says, "But you, Lord," speaking of God there, "you are the same." And so unlike the creation, we are to see here that the Creator does not change. He is immutable. And again, boys and girls, that means he does not change. And we see this in many places in Scripture. Another great example is in Malachi 3, verse 6, where God, from his own lips, says very clearly, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Okay, so God does not change. God cannot change. Because unlike everything else, God is eternally unchangeable. That's the clear teaching of Scripture. A.W. Pink puts it this way. He says, "All that he is today, he has ever been and ever will be." Right? So all that he is today, he has ever been and ever will be. Right? Or, as another author puts it, "He is today as he was before the universe was made, and as he will be after the universe is remade." Right? So God is eternally the same in the past, in the present, and in the future. And as we think of God being immutable, tonight I want us to consider that under four headings. In fact, we have four headings under all three of the points tonight. So the first one is this. God is immutable, we're told, in his being and attributes. Right? In his being and attributes. And this is always going to come up in these sermons, but we need to think about it. So in Psalm 102 and in Malachi 3, which I just read a minute ago, we're told that he is unchangeable in his essence, in his nature. When you think of who God is, in the very inner part of his being, he is an unchangeable God. Okay, so that means there's nothing in God or about God that increases or decreases, that gets better or that gets worse. Right? His personality is unalterable. Thus, the same is true for all of his attributes. So as he does not change, his mercy does not change, his love does not change, his power does not change, his wrath does not change. Right? None of these things change. Now, we have to understand that doesn't mean that God is static, right? As if there's no movement with God, right? On the contrary, we're told in Scripture that God, you know, is a God who comes and goes. He's a God who interacts with his people, right? We see that he is a personal God, but at the exact same time, he's also an immutable God in his being and in his attributes. Nothing changes ever about God. Second, God is immutable in his word and promises. He's immutable in his word and promises. If you look on your outline at Psalm 119, verse 89, we're told, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Right? And remember, God's word is breathed out or has been breathed out by God. And this is why it's often said that the Scriptures, this is a self-revelation of God. It's a self-giving of God in the Bible. So it follows then that if God is unchangeable, then the word that comes from him is also an unchangeable word. And that's what Psalm 119 tells us. Right? His truth does not change. His promises do not change. His word do not change. Jesus says in John chapter 10 that the Scriptures cannot be broken. Right? That's the Scriptures cannot be shortened. Right? The Scriptures cannot be amended. You can try. You can be like Thomas Jefferson and start cutting words out. But the fact remains, right? God's word stays the same forever. That means the promises of God can never fail either. Right? Instead, all that God says is eternally true. And all that God promises will come forever to fruition. Because in his word and in his promises, God does not change. Third, God is immutable in his righteous standard and moral will. is righteous standard and moral will. And this also comes here from Psalm 119 and what we just said. If God is eternally the same, then his law is also eternally the same. And so that means God never lessens his requirements, right? God never adds to his commands. And so what was morally right 2,000 years ago is still morally right today and will still be morally right 2,000 years into the future, right? Because if God doesn't change, then again, his morals do not change either. Stephen Lawson puts it this way. From one century to the next, the moral standard set by God never shifts. The word of God remains the same for every people throughout time. You know, in our country, before 1973, abortion was illegal in most of our states. Not every single one, but in most of our states. This was a crime, right? This was something against the law, right? But when Roe v. Wade was passed, everything changed. Right? And all of a sudden in our country, what we used to think was unlawful, it now became lawful. Now, it's the same country, right? It's largely the same people, but the legal standard changed. And so what was once considered to be wrong, now in the eyes of many is considered to be right. Yeah, but in contrast to that, we have to understand that's not how God operates at all. Right? God, his standard never changes. And so if he says abortion is wrong, it's always wrong. Right? And if he says something is right, morally speaking, it's always right. His standard is immutable. Right? This is why, for instance, we're having a class for the adults on the Ten Commandments. Even though the Ten Commandments were written so long ago, it's because they still apply to the people of God today. It's the moral law of God, which is perpetually binding. And then fourth here, we need to understand that God is also immutable in his plans and purposes. In his plans and purposes. Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. All right, so we know from personal experience, plans change. Right? Sometimes we change the plans, other times the plans are changed for us, but God's plans never change. He never changes them, we never change them, and no one else ever changes them. Right? But rather, what God sets out to do, whatever it is always accomplished. Right? Why? Because his counsel always stands forever. Right? This means then that God has one plan for the world. One plan for the world. And it means that his good purposes that he has for us in that one plan will never be changed. Again, Stephen Lawson is helpful on this. He says, God has had only one plan, plan A from before time began. No occurrence in the world can overturn the good that God has planned for his people. Now, we have to understand this because sometimes when you read the Bible, it seems as if God did change his mind or that God's course was altered because of some outside source. So, for instance, one of the great examples of this is in Genesis chapter 6, when God saw the sinfulness of mankind in Noah's day, right? We're told that he was sorry he had made man. And you can think that and come to the conclusion, well, God must have realized he made a mistake. Right, that he did the wrong thing with these people. And yet, that's not the case. Right? If God is immutable, then the flood was not plan B. Right? The flood was not trying to make up for a mistake that God had made. That never happens. And so when the Bible speaks that way, as if God has made a change or altered his course in any way, we need to understand that it's doing so for our benefit. Right, these are examples of what we call anthropomorphism. Right? This is the Bible speaking of God in a human sense so that we, can, who are humans, can better understand God. So when you get to Genesis 6, in that case, as we're told that God was sorry he made man, it's not saying God made a mistake and he's going to come up with plan B, but it's helping us understand, who do make mistakes, God's hatred of sin. Right? So we have to understand, being immutable, God has one plan, Scripture says. That one plan stands forever. It will never be changed. So, there's probably more that could be said, but when we think of the immutability of God, this is what Scripture brings to our attention. His being and attributes do not change. His word and promises do not change. His righteous standard and moral will, they do not change, and His plans and purposes do not change. Because again, Psalm 102 tells us, unlike the creation, unlike you and me, God never changes. He is forever the same. So that's God's immutability. Now, secondly, let's move on here to consider God's immutability in the gospel. And in this point, I want us to focus particularly on how God is immutable in the redemption of His people. And like I said, we have four headings under this point as well. And so the first thing I want you to see is that God is immutable in His plan of salvation. And this connects a bit with what we just talked about. But Jesus says here, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right, so here we're given a very clear statement that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. And as we know from the rest of Scripture, that salvation is in particular through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Right, what's more, we also see in the rest of Scripture that salvation has always been through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Right, this is how it goes. This is how it was all the way at the very beginning of redemptive history. How were Adam and Eve, didn't Noah, how were they saved? By faith in the coming Messiah. Right, as we are saved now in the Messiah who's come, and that Scripture says will always be the case from redemptive history in the past to redemptive history in the future. Right, since the fall of Adam, the way to heaven has been and always been through faith in the Messiah. There's been no other way of salvation. It's the same today, it's the same tomorrow, it's the same every other day in the future until Jesus comes back. Because in His immutability, His plan of salvation is also unchangeable. And so what that says then is that the way to heaven will never be one of works righteousness. And the truths of the gospel will never be altered. Right? The conditions of the gospel will never be modified. Because the good news of the gospel has always been and will be forever the same. The way to eternal life is through faith in Jesus Christ alone, period, forever. And that's what we have to understand. And so He's immutable in His plan of salvation. Second, God is immutable in His accomplishment of salvation. John 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. The word translated here, "it is finished," is one that means paid in full. Right? It was a term that indicated, you know, the stamp was on the bill. You had paid the check. The payment had been completely made. And here, Jesus used it to speak of His death on the cross. Right, because He understood that His death on the cross would actually accomplish the salvation of His people. Wouldn't just make it possible, wouldn't just do part of what was needed, but it would actually pay in full all that was needed to save the elect. And so if Jesus paid it all, then that means it's done. And if it's done, Scripture says, then it cannot be undone. Not by our sins, not by our doubts, not by our enemies, but rather because of what Jesus has done, if it is finished, then it is unchangeable. It is unchangeable. And so if He accomplished salvation for you, right, that salvation is certain. Nothing can change that. Third, God is immutable in His application of salvation. Right? So in the plan of salvation, the accomplishment of it, now the application of it. That Romans 8, verse 30 says this quite clearly for us. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. In other words, all whom God desires to save will, without exception, be saved. Right? That's what Romans 8 is telling us here. Because if you're predestined by God, you will be called by God. And if you're called by God, you will be justified by God, and so forth. Right? So to put it differently, the elect are always, again, without exception, brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Having accomplished their salvation on the cross, Jesus effectually calls them to himself through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's true for all periods of human history, and that's true for all parts of the world. If someone wants to be saved, if God, rather, wants someone to be saved, that person will come to faith whenever God wants it to happen. Right? He can't change that. The person can't change that. Satan can't change that. No one can change that. Right? That person will come to faith because the application of the gospel, of the accomplished salvation of Jesus Christ, is also immutable, as God is immutable. So all whom God desires to save will be saved. And then fourth, God is immutable in his consummation of salvation. So the plan of salvation, accomplishment, application of it, and the consummation of it. John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is Jesus speaking. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So here we see, not only is the believer's salvation certain, and not only is that person coming to saving faith certain, here we see that that person's arrival in heaven is also certain. As Jesus says, his people will never perish. Right? That is, all of the saved, right, will cross the finish line. Right? Not one true Christian will fall away. Not one true Christian will fail to make it to the end. But instead, every true Christian will one day enjoy the fullness of the glory of being in heaven with God. Again, which means nothing can change that, right? This is the good news of the gospel. You can't change that. Your sins can't change that, right? Nothing can change that. If you're united to Christ and thus persevere in your faith, then making it to heaven is a guarantee. Right? That is also an unchangeable reality. So just as God is immutable in his being, in his word, in his standard, and in his purpose, he's also immutable in the plan of salvation, the accomplishment of salvation, the application of salvation, and the consummation of salvation. God is immutable in the gospel. And then thirdly and finally here, let's also consider God's immutability in the Christian life. Just recently, as you know, we marked the one-year anniversary of dealing with COVID-19. It's kind of hard to believe, although it's not actually that hard to believe. It feels like it's been an eternity. But you know, as you think of the last year, and you think of prior to March, right? Who would have thought this is what the last year would have looked like, right? I remember last December of 2019, we were just starting to hear about the coronavirus in other parts of the world. Even in February, I don't think, you know, it would come to our country, but we weren't really thinking about it. At least I was not thinking about it that much. And then in March, it seemed to, in a lot of ways, come out of nowhere. And just think of how drastically it's affected our lives over this past year. It's upended our lives in many ways. And I think it's, again, fair to say that none of us expected this to happen. But again, as I mentioned earlier, isn't that how life goes at times? Sometimes it's on the big scale, like with the coronavirus, and other times it's on a smaller scale. But this is life in this world, isn't it, where things change. Things are always changing, and we don't know what's going to happen. And so if you think of change, right, the world in which we live is always changing. The society in which we live is always changing. Our bodies are always changing. Our relationships are always changing. Our souls, actually, are always changing, right? What's more, norms in the society, they're always changing, and the beliefs of people are always changing. Now, again, some of that change is for the better. A lot of that change is for the worse. Right? For instance, when sickness and death strike, when loss enters your life, worst of all, when you fall into sin or when a person believes a lie contrary to the word of God. And to add to that, a lot of the change is outside your control. Right? And so the constant change in this world, as I said at the beginning, can be unnerving. And I know you know what I'm talking about. As you experience change or the possibility of change, it is quite unsettling at times. And that is why the immutability of God is so important for our day-to-day lives in this world as His people. Right? Because it's His unchangeableness that gives us the settledness we need in this world that's full of change. Now, Mark Jones puts it this way. He says, God's immutability provides His people with a great deal of comfort and stability. I don't often think that way. As I think of the comfort I'm looking for, how often does my mind go to the fact that God is unchangeable? And yet, if we really understand what it means that God does not change, I think Mark Jones is exactly right. There's a great deal of comfort and stability for us in that. And that's why I say here in our main point that we need to lean on our unchangeable God. We need to rest on our unchangeable. We need to let Him give us that sense of settledness and stability that we long for in this life. And so, following the previously established pattern, let's conclude here with four practical words of application to that end. And the first thing I want you to see here is that you should lean on your unchangeable God for salvation. Right? Lean on your unchangeable God for salvation. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? And that means that if Jesus was the Savior long ago, then Jesus is the Savior today. And Jesus will be the Savior tomorrow. And He will always be the Savior. And so if you want salvation, whether you've professed faith already or not, then you have to lean on Jesus, who is that unchanging Savior. And we live in a world that offers so many paths to eternal life, and yet we need to cling to this one way that leads to eternal life. And so instead of trying to be good enough, we need to rely on His obedience for us. Instead of trying to pay for our sins in some way, we need to rely on His death for us. And instead of trying to win the favor of God, we need to rely on His resurrection for us. But if Jesus is the unchangeable Savior who provides unchangeable salvation, then we need to lean on Him, trusting in what He has done, and He alone has done for us. Second, lean on your unchangeable God for comfort and encouragement. And this ties in a bit with what we talked about this morning. As you experience doubt in your life and heartache in your life and troubling circumstances in your life, you need to remember His unchangeable nature. Because why? Well, it tells you God is always loving. God is always merciful. God is always present. God is always powerful. And in addition to that, you need to remember His unchangeable promises. And what are the promises He gives you? He is always with you. He is always forgiving you. He is always leading you, and so forth. And it's as you remember these things, His unchangeable character, His unchangeable word, that our heart receives the comfort we need, that our faith is strengthened and sustained. Now, Mark Jones puts it this way. Our love for Him may wax and wane in imperfection, but God's love for us remains as unchanging as His very being. Isn't that comforting? We struggle to love God. We struggle to serve God. We wonder if as a result He loves us anymore. But if He's unchangeable and you're in Christ, there's nothing that can change that love that God has for you. We're often like the waves of the sea. We're tossing, we're turning day after day. But God is the rock in the waves who is unmovable. And so we should rest in Him. Third, lean on your unchangeable God for what is right and for what is wrong. Now, because one of the things we've seen is that one of the greatest things that's often changing in our society today is what society deems to be right and what they deem to be wrong. So we talked about this with abortion. Right? It wasn't that long ago when the vast majority of Americans thought it was illegal and it was wrong. Yet now we live in a country where it's legal in all the states and it's celebrated by many people. We've also seen recently just the developments with gay marriage, where it used to be, the vast majority of people thought that was sinful. And yet now, that's also legal, and that's also being celebrated and so forth. Why? Because the societal standard has changed. And we live in a world where those societal standards are always changing. But remember, God's standard never changes. And so if we're not to be carried away by all of those societal changes, which we're prone to do, and many sadly are, we have to stick with the Scriptures. They tell us what is truly right and what is truly wrong. And lest we fall into sin, we need to believe what the Scriptures tell us and live by what the Scriptures tell us, regardless of what other people tell us. Okay, so if we want to be faithful to our Savior in a world that is constantly changing morals, we have to lean on our unchangeable God who has an unchangeable standard. That's the standard we have to live by. And then fourth and finally, lean on your unchangeable God for evangelism. For evangelism. Because if the plan of salvation is immutable, as well as its accomplishment and its application, then that means we need to stick with the gospel in our evangelism. But that's hard to do, isn't it? Right? The gospel's unpopular. Right? The gospel, sometimes, if we're honest, seems to be powerless. Right? The gospel often upsets the people we talk to. But in light of what we've considered tonight, the gospel is something we should never move away from when it comes to speaking to other people about eternal life. Right, that simple, clear message of salvation through faith in a Savior who has come and died for His people. Right? And so we should keep proclaiming the gospel if God's immutable in salvation. We should keep sharing the gospel. We should keep relying on the gospel, because if God is immutable in His work of salvation, then that means it's the gospel that leads to salvation, not social justice. Not seeker-friendly services, not good works. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. So as we live in this world, a world that's full of change, again, some for the better, some for the worse, we need to lean on this God who never changes. For our own personal salvation, for our comfort and encouragement as we live with much heartache and struggle, and then also for what is right and wrong, and for our evangelism as the witnesses of Jesus Christ. And so let's pray that God would give us that faith to keep relying upon Him and His immutability in all that we do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for revealing Yourself to us again and helping us to understand who You are. Lord, just as it's hard for us to imagine how You are eternal, it's also hard for us to imagine how You are immutable, especially when we are changing all of the time. And so we pray that You would help us to live in this wild sea of change by relying upon You. We pray that we would take comfort from Your unchangeable character and Your unchangeable word. We pray that You would help us to put into practice what we've talked about and to keep thinking about the practical outwork bearing of Your immutability in our lives. Lord, it's a great comfort not only to know that Your word never changes, but also to know that salvation is unchangeable too. Lord, we do so much to mess things up, so to speak. And yet we thank You that You're the one who ensures we come to faith. You're the one who ensures we make it to glory. And may that give us peace and comfort every day as well. And so, Lord, we pray again that You would bless us as we have considered Your character tonight. Help us to grow in our understanding of who You are, and draw us closer to You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.